two more Sundays, and then we enter another new year. I'm very conscious of the passage of time, as God's word says we are to number our days and apply our hearts unto wisdom. Before I proceed, I have two announcements. Coupons for our Christmas service on the 25th are now on sale outside. It entitles you to the dinner that follows the Christmas service on the 25th. This year we do not have a service on the 24th, so please take note. We have this daily remembrancer. After 3 years of work, it is now available in the bookshop. This was written by Reverend James Smith, published in the year 1840. So that is 160-odd years ago. This is the Victorian classic, rediscovered, revived, and revised. And new things are added. So it is on special offer. Walk to the book room, and this will be an ideal gift for Christmas. Even in case you want to buy some good thing for someone for Christmas, here it is. Daily Remembrance in two colors. Now, tonight, the title of my message is Crossing My Jordan. I suppose you know what it means. Let me invite you to go with me to the best airport in the world. Not very far from here. You take a drive in 25 minutes, you are there. In the great departure lounge of Changi Airport, there will be hundreds and thousands of people all carrying tickets. And you hear announcement over the loudspeaker system from time to time, quite often, calling out certain flights that are taking off. And those people who hold those tickets will be carried to 60, 70, 80 different destinations, depending on where you go. The next time you go, make sure you don't miss your flight, as I did about 3 months ago. You know, some of the departure lounges are very far from the check-in point. And nowadays, they are very strict. They say they close the gate at a certain time, and I forgot about that. I went doing a bit of shopping. Suddenly, I heard my name. Wow, I say, how did I become so important? Over the loudspeaker system, so-and-so, your flight is about to leave. I quickly took my goods and ran, but unfortunately, missed the flight. Now let me talk about another flight. All of us are in a great departure lounge. All of us hold one ticket. That is, if you belong to the heavenly kingdom. That is, yes, are you? I'm going to ask you a very personal question. And that is all that matters for your coming here tonight. Do you have that special one-way ticket that I have held for 70 years? Let me show you this ticket. Heaven's Express. You're invited to come. You have the ticket, be ready, because we are in the Great Departure Lounge. And any moment, you may be called first class. No need of going economy. Everybody is entitled to it. Issuing authority, the King of Kings. You belong to the Lord Jesus, put your name there. And you are assured of a place on that flight. It is one way, no return. non-stop, no place to stop. No luggage, nothing to carry. All you need is over there. No meals, you don't need it. Oh, dear friends, how wonderful. Expect the time of departure. Any time at call. I've been waiting now 70 years. And I realize the waiting time is getting shorter and the departure time is getting nearer. You don't have to pay any fare for this. It has been paid for you in full when the issuing authority, the King of Kings, paid for it at Calvary. Oh, this is the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to anyone here who has not yet come to the Savior. Tonight is your opportunity. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Do not wait, because if you are not in Jesus Christ and the call comes, you won't be on this flight. Please understand. You'll be taken somewhere else, and that somewhere else is not a pleasant place to go to. So, dear friends, tonight I'm talking of crossing my Jordan. You say, what has God Jordan got to do with this? Well, it is a Bible term, you know. After you cross Jordan, where do you come into? Where? Promised land, isn't it? So the term crossing the Jordan merely refers to the last trip. When you get out of this planet Earth, where do you go? This is the question. And what awaits you when you get onto that flight? We heard just now, read to us, in my Father's house are many mansions. How many of you live in a mansion today? Oh, it's very expensive to live in any apartment in Singapore today. So expensive. But we have here the promise of, in my Father's house are many mansions. Don't take that reading as something far away. Maybe I'll be there, maybe not. No, dear friends, there is no need to use any maybe here. No supposition. Coming to the Lord Jesus in faith, you are assured, because He offers you, He says, in my Father's house. It is a stated fact. Nothing fictitious, nothing suppository. Heavenly mansions are there ready for you. Freehold. Nowadays you read the papers, not leasehold, not 99 years only, but freehold in the real sense. Unlimited and free on the application. Wow, how about that? In Singapore, the apartments are going up and up in price. It used to be 1,000, now 2,000, and very soon it'll be 3,000. You better buy soon. Yeah. It's going up further, I'm told. So, you get it free on the application. How do you apply? I say, come to the Lord Jesus in faith. Also wonderful. This offer is so fantastic, people don't want to believe. They want to work their way to heaven. I say it's very hard, very hard. By faith in Jesus. What do you mean by faith? What do you mean? Simply taking God at His word, at His offer. He says, look unto me. That's all you need to do. Come to the cross, look at the Savior and say, Lord Jesus, I recognize you are the Savior. I am the sinner. I know you can save me because you have died on the cross for my sins. And I know I am a sinner. And you died for me to take away my sins. I should have been there, but you took my place. And I know you have completed that work because you rose from the dead for me. And in thee I find that promise of everlasting life. As in Adam, I know I have to die. True? Are you a child of Adam? You cannot escape death. In Adam, all die. But in Christ, all shall be made alive, alive forevermore. And this mansion is prepared for you. So the Lord Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled. How many of you have troubled hearts tonight? Worried. Oh, it is the commonest complaint. So many patients come and say, Doctor, I'm afraid to die. My children are grown up and they're leaving me. I'm alone. I'm so worried about dying. So that opens the door, opens the opportunity for a little witness. To tell them, look, lady, friend, there is no need to worry about death. Only come to Jesus, the King of life, and He will assure you a wonderful future, so that death no longer holds a fear for you. No longer that awful dread of dying, but death becomes a welcome door. And that bed there is no longer a fearful thing that I may lie in it and I won't wake up again, but that is only a place passing through to the next wonderful place. Here the heavenly mansion has a wonderful designer, builder, developer, who is not out there to make your money. All these developers, you know what they do? They have their sums all worked out. And when they offer you special discount, it is already highly added on. And after all the discount, they make more money. Absolute and assured in this place, when you get into these heavenly mansions, absolute, assured, amazing, because always new, never grow old. Oh, dear friends, nowadays you get into the apartments, before anything else, something breaks down, the roof leaks, the water doesn't work, something, electricity blow up. Is that right? Of course. It happens all the time. In no time, aging, maintenance. How much are you paying for your maintenance? How much? They ask me. I say, landlord's business. I pay rent. Up there, landlord says, no need to pay anything. We have a wonderful landlord, and he says, come along. In my Father's house are those wonderful mansions, absolute, assured, amazing, because never age, no maintenance. How about that? No repairs. So this is the offer. So this is my subject for tonight. Crossing my Jordan. I was counting very quickly just now. Coming to this Sunset Gospel service by now, I've done it over 1,320 times. How many times have you been? You say, why do you count? I said, the Bible says so, isn't it? Number your days, count your days. And I say, well, behind me, so many times. And ahead of me, how many more times? Oh, dear friends, I think I made a mistake. It's 13,000 times, not 1,300 times for 25 years. Is it right? Anyone that with a computer to work it out? So you see, so many times behind me, I say, hey, ahead of me, how many more times? I don't know. But definitely not many more times. So we have to think and we have to number our days. Is that what you're doing tonight? Now let's turn to God's Word and see what God has to say to us. Philippians, Second Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, the testimony of Paul the Apostle. We will read this before we go back to our main text later on. Here, Paul says in verse 6, dear friends, those of you who have been faithfully serving the Lord, you can read this and take it for yourself. Apply it as your own. 2 Timothy 4:6. If you have been serving the Lord for 30 years, 50 years, in my case, 70 years, what do you say? Verse 6. I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departing is at hand. Do you know that? You say, I'm too young to go. I say, you're never too young. If you have that wonderful one-way ticket, the call can come any time. And that call is a wonderful call. Don't be afraid of the call, because that call says, the Lord is ready for you. Are you ready for the Lord? Are you ready to go? I know departing from the airport lounge is not always pleasant. I was once in Kuala Lumpur, and the whole family came to see. I said, who is the VIP being sent off? Oh, the VIP is a young man, maybe 16, 17. I asked him, where are you going? I'm going to the States to study. And the whole family is there. Very soon as he crossed the security and said goodbye, the mother burst into tears. When will I see you again? Wow. Departing always carries some trauma, isn't it? Oh, my friends. Parting is painful. And here Paul says, I am ready to depart, but not painful. For because you have that assurance. Do you have that assurance? When you have that assurance where you are going, whom you have been serving, and the one whom you are serving is waiting there for you, waiting, every day waiting, ready for you. So when you call, you can say, as Paul says, can you say, look at verse 6. It's a wonderful verse. Nothing said about this one. Paul says, I am now ready to be offered, even as a sacrifice for the Lord, even as a drink sacrifice, to be poured out. I'm ready to go. That's what it means. And the time of my departing is at hand. Of course, for Paul is a different departing. Please remember, Paul was under sentence of death, under the captivity of the Caesar. And he knew any time his head would be taken off. What does it matter? You know, that's why these suicide bombers, they go and offer their bodies. They are told, and it is true, the pain is only a moment. When the bomb goes off, your body goes into pieces. How long does it take? The most is 5 seconds, 10 seconds, you're finished. Why are you so worried of pain of that last a few seconds? Now in this case, Paul says, I am ready to go because my Lord has given me this commission and the commission's over. What has he done? What commission? Have you got a commission from the Lord? Verse 7. Paul says, and can you say so? Dear friends, ask yourself, can you say so? What can you say? Try this. I have fought a good fight. Wonderful. Every spiritual battle is a fight against the evil one in your life, in your work, in whatever you do for the Lord. It is a fight against the evil one. The forces of evil are all around you. Have you been standing for the Lord? Holding to the truth? Witnessing unto the Lord all your life? That's a fight. We all fight, you know. That's a fight. Can you say? If not, why not? Why not? If you have received the salvation grace of Jesus Christ, He equips you to be a fighter, a warrior, somebody to hold the fort for Him. All right, look at verse 7. Paul says, and I hope you can say too, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have been called to be an apostle. I run the course. I run my race. All my life, I have never turned back. I've never denied my Lord. I've never shrunk from any kind of challenge. Can you say that? This is a wonderful verse. I have kept the faith. Although others have deserted me, all those others have fallen away from the faith, Now they deny the Bible is infallible, and they're going to join together, join hands with the one world religious movement. Wow, what is that? And that is gathering everybody in its path. In all the mainline churches, they're all joining together. But Paul says, no, I have kept the faith. I have stood fast. That is what we need today, dear friends. You come to this church, if you learn nothing more, nothing less, you learn one thing. To hold fast to the faith. The one only faith given to us in the book of God. The faith once delivered unto the saints, which never changes. And must never be compromised or changed for anything else. Have you kept that faith? Now, verse 8 is for all of us. If you have held fast to the faith, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. I do not know what kind of a crown, whether it's gold or... I don't care. I don't care. As long as the Lord gives me a crown, I say, thank you, Lord. I don't deserve it, but if you say it is for me, I say, thank you very much. And that is for all of us, you know. If you keep the faith, you run the race, you fight the fight, and you have completed your course, he says, welcome home. What is so frightening about going home? What is so fearful about the call and going through, crossing your Jordan? Are you worried? Are you afraid? No, dear friends. There is a crown waiting for you. There is a Savior waiting for you. Please, look at the Savior. Don't look at the grave. Look at the Savior and say, Lord, I'm coming home. All right, read on. Henceforth is laid up for me and for you, dear friends. For you, if you keep the faith, you run the race, you fight the fight, and the Lord will say, welcome. Oh, how wonderful. A crown of righteousness, the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me. Ah, that's you. At that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that also love his appearing. Do you love his appearing, dear friends? Do you really love his appearing? Do you think about him every day? Do you anticipate and get anxious, happy at the thought that Jesus may come tonight? Maybe tonight, maybe tomorrow. What does it matter? You be ready. Be ready. And when he calls, you say, Lord, I'm ready. Now, 2 Corinthians, the part where we read, which we read just now. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 7. This is a wonderful, powerful verse. 2 Corinthians 4, 7. We are going to read just a few selected verses. So you got to be very quick and follow me. 2 Corinthians 4, 7. Paul here says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. What are the earthen vessels? Answer, we are the earthen vessels. You and me are merely earthen vessels. Take away the breath and then we collapse and then we rot and we go back to the earth. We are earthen vessels, not very precious, you know. Yeah, that's all we have. This body is an earthen vessel, but when you have the Lord Jesus Christ and His gospel, you have treasure. God puts that treasure in you. The treasure of the gospel is so wonderful. Beyond price, you cannot buy it, but you get it free from Him. You have the Word of God in you, the treasure of God in your earthen vessel. The excellency of the power is of God. When you have that treasure, you have power. Power to tell others that they can escape the great destruction to come. They can escape the hell to come. They can escape the punishment of God and enter into God's everlasting kingdom according to His promise in this treasure in earthen vessels. Do you have it? What is the treasure? The gospel. Go and share that gospel. Go and tell others. Do not keep it to yourself, because that is part of the race you are running. That is part of the great commission given to you. Are you doing it? If so, you can every day say, thank God. I'm running the race. I'm fighting the fight. I'm keeping the faith. I'm waiting for the Lord to come back. Anytime He comes, I say, Lord, I'm ready. Because I have shared that treasure with other people. Verse 16. If you have, you have great assurance. For this cause, we faint not. Why do you faint not? Because when you have the Lord Jesus, you know. Whereas in Adam all die, in Christ all shall be made alive, and the same power that raised Jesus from the dead will raise you. It will raise you. It will give you that assurance and absolute confidence when you breathe the last, you enter into another realm that God has promised. And when the Lord Jesus comes, your body will be raised incorruptible and returned to you. To join with your soul. Wonderful promise. Because of that, Paul says, I don't faint. What do you mean faint? I don't give up. I continue. Why? Because that assurance is absolute. It is based on God's word. It is based on God's own person. You can be absolutely sure of that. Read on now. Verse 16. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Are you worried because you have now crossed 70? The days of a year are 70 years and 10, and if by reason of strength there be 80 years like me, yet is that strength labor and sorrow, because that kind of age takes you nearer the grave. Is that right? Of course. But for us, nearer our reward, not the grave. You don't look at the grave. Nearer the Lord Jesus, nearer the home He's prepared for us, nearer the crown, waiting for all those who love His appearing. That is the prospect. Do you have that prospect? Do you? Yes or no? All right, read on. Verse 17. Some here are going through difficult times, afflictions. Are you going through affliction? Sickness? Oh, so many. My prayer list is gathering more and more cancer cases. Every few days you hear another case. Add to your prayer list. More cancers. More kind of strokes and heart disease and all kinds of crazy things happening. And you increase in this kind of thing. It's so depressing, isn't it? Yes or no? No, dear friends. Don't let your affliction depress you. Do not. Because the Lord Jesus Christ in your life makes all the difference. Makes all the difference. Do not worry because you have some affliction, you get depressed, you can't sleep, you've got to take pills. No need to. No need to. Read verse 17. What does it say? Our light affliction. Our affliction is only a light affliction, not so heavy. Why? Because you got treasure in earthen vessel. Because you got the assurance of the Lord Jesus in your life. You have the assurance of the Holy Spirit to comfort you. The Comforter is with you. Therefore, that affliction is light. You can bear it. Which is but for a moment. Yes. Are you afflicted? Say yes. How long will you be afflicted? The most is a few years. A few years of affliction versus unlimited years of eternity of blessing coming to you. What does it matter? It melts and fades into nothing. Nothing. A few years of affliction. What is it? Nothing. Alright, read on. This affliction is but for a moment, but it worketh for us an exceeding and eternal weight of glory, because your affliction, borne patiently in the Lord Jesus Christ, will lead you to great glory. Reward with Him is glory beyond compare. Glory that is unspeakable. Glory that cannot be described. I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither entered into the heart of man the wonderful things God has prepared for you and me. Do you know that? So you're going through affliction, are you? You're not as strong as before, right? Right or not? Of course. I'm not as strong as before. Although I can still jog, but no good. Very tired. Yes. But does it matter? Of course. You've got to pay for your age, right? And all these are light afflictions, but when you read this, you say, praise the Lord, I'm growing old. Praise the Lord, I'm going through this necessary physical deterioration of age. That's necessary. You can't avoid it. This is my light affliction. What is your light affliction? Look to the Lord. And you bear it patiently. At the end of it, He gives you a glory beyond all compare, right? It is waiting for you. Therefore, you can bear your light affliction for a while. Verse 18. We look not at the things which are seen. Don't look at your face in the mirror in the morning, say, wow, how depressing. Oh, I don't look like I once looked before, right? No more, right? True? Yes, absolutely. But does matter. Verse 18. Don't look at the things which are seen. Don't look at your face. But at the things which are not seen. Wow, those things that God has prepared for you, not seen. You say, how can I look at things not seen? Answer by faith. By faith. God has prepared them for you. You cannot see them. They are invisible. But you must, with the eye of faith, receive them already. See them in the mind's eye. The Lord has prepared for you. As I said, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither entered into the heart of man. All these wonderful things God has prepared for them who love Him. Amazing. All right, read on. The things which are seen are temporal. Don't concentrate, don't focus on those things and get depressed. But the things which are not seen are eternal. For we know, verse 1, that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a better building of God. If this body were to go sick and need bypass, 4 or 5 bypass, or no bypass, impossible, too late to bypass and you are going to die, what does it matter? If this tabernacle of this body were to decay and to become irreparable, cannot be repaired, the doctors give up, what does it matter? We have a better body prepared for us in heaven. God has done it for you, waiting for you. Are you comforted? Are you encouraged to go on with the Lord? Read on now. It's made without hands, eternal in the heavens. Now look at verse 2. In this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven, meaning to say, Lord, if it is so, speed it up for me. Speed it up. If it is your will to call me, please, I'm ready. I told you the story. My grandfather, at about 70, used to wake us up at night by his loud prayer, groaning, Lord, take your servant's soul to heaven. Take your soul, my soul to heaven. Next morning, I said, Grandfather, were you sick last night? No, I'm not sick. I want to go to heaven. I said, but you look all right. Age 70, he prayed 13 years. God took him at 83 in Batu Pahat. Right. He was so anxious, so keen. He's like a man in the departure lounge. He says, why don't the announcement come for me? I don't get my name called yet. Waiting all the time, so anxious. Why? Because to him, heaven was so real. Earth was so useless. He always told us, grandson, the whole world put together is like a cold overnight potato. Who will go for a cold overnight potato that you left last night, you didn't eat, now you say, it's wonderful. No, you say, throw it away. So grandfather says, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to look at a cold potato. What for? This is all that I have in the world. You know, when he passed away, we searched his belongings. All he had in Batu Pahat was a small cabinet, so small, and it contained 63 cents. It's all his life savings, 63 cents. Why? Because he determined to have nothing of earthly treasure, nothing of earthly wealth, and he determined not to save for the children. All his wealth is given to relief, to China, to here and to there. All right? Now we go on to the very last, verse 4. Verse 4 of 2 Corinthians 5, for we that are in this tabernacle groan, being burdened, not that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon with mortality, to be swallowed up of life. What is Paul saying? Oh, to bear this mortal body is a burden. You agree? Today in Singapore, the cost of medicine is going up and up and up, so expensive. I read in the papers, even in Beijing, somebody went to a hospital in 2 months and chalked up a bill of $1.1 million. I didn't know it's so expensive to get sick in Beijing. But in Singapore, it's bad enough. So if this body is costing you so much to keep alive and not just get well, you can't get really get well, but just keep alive, and it's so expensive, what is the prospect on earth? It's worse than my grandfather's cold potato. Worse. Because it's very expensive to be kept alive in Singapore today. Now what is the prospect? Paul says, I pray that I may be clothed upon with immortality. Praise God, the promise of the gospel is God will make you immortal. That is the meaning of eternal life. And then away with mortality. Away with the prospect and the fear of death. Away with it. Take it away. Why? How? Simply because you have the Lord Jesus. In Christ you have the absolute assurance. Absent from the body this moment, immediately you are present with the Lord. And you are in the realm of immortality. This is what we need. This is what we want. And this is what the Lord promises us. What is it? What is it? Immortality, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. This is the promise. Now read on. Verse 5, now he that wrought us for the selfsame thing is God. Who has done it for you? God. Who also hath given us the earnest of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit Comforter, who teaches you and convinces you and persuades you that all that you read in the Bible is true. You know that? You can read and say, I know it's true. Because the Holy Spirit who brought me to Calvary, the Holy Spirit who showed me the Savior, and I believe in Him, and the Holy Spirit of promise is given to me according to promise. And this Holy Spirit in me is teaching me the wonderful things of God that I can believe, that I know is for sure. Why? Because Holy Spirit in me tells me it's true. Do you have the Holy Spirit? Not tongues, but Holy Spirit of promise, according to God's promise in your heart, to tell you, you belong to the Lord Jesus because you've come to Calvary and received the crucified Christ. That is the Holy Spirit. Now read on. Verse 6 to 7 and 8, and we finish. Therefore we are always confident. Are you confident? Are you in Christ? There is no need to doubt whatsoever. Now what is it we are not to doubt about? Verse 6. We are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. Meaning to say, in this present body, we are absent from the Lord. Where is the Lord? In heaven. Yes, He is there preparing the mansions for you and me. Where is He? In heaven. But this verse 6 says, we are always confident to know that while we are here in the body, we are absent from the Lord in heaven. That's right. Of course, it's a statement of fact. Now read on. Verse 7. We walk by faith, not by sight. Meaning to say, I know by faith my Lord Jesus, risen from the dead, ascended to heaven, is waiting for me. That is by faith. You cannot see Him down, do you? You cannot. Alright. That's by faith. Now the crunch verse, the closing verse, the bottom line is verse 8. Would you like to read with me? Everybody try reading this together because it's so wonderful. Ready? Verse 8. We are confident, I say, willing rather to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. This is the most precious verse. It is the climax of tonight's message. Crossing my Jordan. Once you cross the Jordan, you are there. Absent from the body is left behind the Jordan. You cross the Jordan, you are into the promised land, present with the Lord. There are just two places you can be in. Listen carefully. Present in the body, you're on earth. The moment the Lord calls, you'll be absent from this body is left behind, you are present with the Lord. Two places only. There is no third place. There is no halfway house. And only in the Lord you'll be with the Lord. If you're not in the Lord, you'll be with the devil. Please. Tonight is very, very clear. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ, and then you can say, I'm very confident that whereas I'm present with the body, in the body, I'm absent from the Lord. And the moment I'm absent from this body, I'm present with the Lord. Do you have that confidence? Then you can cross your Jordan. I'm preparing. Yes, ready, waiting, any day. Lord Jesus, when will it be? You too. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, help us to understand the deep things of God by faith, by the instruction of the Holy Spirit, to know that we who are present in the body, absent from the Lord, we have the great prospect that if we are absent from this body, we will be present with the Lord. This is our prayer in Jesus' blessed name. Amen.